You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on August 9, 2023, and is titled Access. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
I have real trouble with people who take church people and train them how to look like the Holy Spirit lives in you. You cannot train people to have a gift. That gift will manifest and it will operate just as Jesus set it out to do, as he has distributed all gifts to all men. If I have to make you acquainted with the Holy Ghost, then who consumed you when you were born again? You can't preach like this. They'll think you got a wing nut off. He said you were outsiders because you weren't circumcised. You had no promise. You had no hope. You had no place. But now, in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Everything that man couldn't do, God did. Not waiting on him to do anything else. He did it. And he's not far off. So when I hear Western culture Christianity, now it is just like a fingernails on a chalkboard. God's up here and we're down here. And if you be nice down here, he'll be nice up there. And if you're naughty down here, he's going to spank you from up there. But the whole trick is to get from here to there. Get from here. Let's do Beulah Land. Let's do I'll Fly Away. Son of a gun, I'll fly away. Some glad morning, I think I'll stay. I'm telling you, I've practiced this so much in my head and preached it and lived it and studied it till I just don't have any backup in me whatsoever when it comes to everybody's religious feelings. Because if you'll look around, we're a generational disaster. If you'll look around, there's no watchman on the wall. Every kind of perversion, pollution, destruction, every kind of deception has just made its way into this one nation under God. One nation that's a lighthouse to the world, that's a hands and feet, that holds out justice and wars against injustice. Now, our whole systems are like a sewer system. We've elected the highest officials in the world that can't spell their name the same way twice. I just want to ask 435 guys in Congress, hey, has any of y'all ever reconciled your own checkbook? I just want to know, have any of y'all ever figured out what it means to be even? Then you got people up there couldn't even spell 35 trillion. We've got people who go to church every Sunday in leadership positions who can't decide the difference between right and wrong, male, female, perversion, queer, pick a spot. And they're running your institutions of education and everything else while they're sitting underneath the nose of a puppeteer every week. Who's on the wall? Who is on the wall? If Christ is near, how much do you think he's enjoying this? He went to the depths and rose to the heights to give us everything necessary to take care of the garden. He's not far away. But after decades, generations of preaching a soft gospel, getting everybody comfortable. How many of y'all come here because you know I'm going to make you comfortable? Anybody come here because it's comfortable? The air conditioner works good. I'm pretty serious about the air conditioning, but I ain't spent enough time sitting on one of them chairs to even know what to feel like. We've had them for 25 years, but we gonna make everybody comfortable. We're gonna make everything acceptable. We're not gonna ripple the water. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and for God's sakes, we don't want your billfold walking out the door. That ain't gonna work. But through the blood of Christ, we were brought near. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinance, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. What's he talking about? He's talking about two covenants. We start out talking about the circumcised and the uncircumcised. Gentiles who would be just like a horse sale auctioneer who, first of all, didn't know what the rules were, and second of all, couldn't keep them. But through his death on the cross and his resurrection, the Holy Spirit came 50 days after Passover. We had an outpouring, a one-time outpouring that filled the universe and brought the law to a lawless group of people on the exact same day that he did it on Mount Sinai. However many centuries before. That's why the timelines and the feasts and things like that are important. It gives us knowledge to the kingdom of God and the timelines of God and the ordinances of God. Not to be bound again by legalism, but to understand that through faith in Jesus Christ, we strive for ordinance, we strive for obedience that makes our lives pleasing to God and gives us access to God through this born-again life. That born-again life says, Jesus, I am now yours. Not the prayer of Romans 10:9-10 that's not a prayer. It's a fact of the Bible. It's a scripture that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. How many of you have been to anywhere? We've all been to Team Ropens and everywhere else. That they made that the prayer. That's the salvation prayer. I go look. I want you to find the salvation prayer in this Bible. It's not there. There is no such thing. There is a thing called a saved individual who has laid down his life, taken up his cross, surrendered himself, that God would clothe you in his Holy Spirit, that you would rise up and just be you working in harmony. No enmity, but harmony with God himself. What's wrong with that? Have I done blowed everybody's dress up here? What's wrong with living in harmony with God? What's wrong with living with a God who's near, who will reveal your sin to you? What's wrong with repenting to a God who is near? Nothing wrong with that. It won't happen until Jesus is revealed. When you read over in Matthew 16, and the disciples are there, and Jesus walks up and he said, hey, who's everybody say I am? Boy, I learned to quit doing that about 15 years ago. Hey, what's people saying about me? Just leave it alone. Jesus walked up and he said, what are they saying? Well, they think you're John the Baptist, you're Elijah, you're a prophet, you're a teacher, you blah, 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 blah. And then here comes Peter and he said, okay, what about you, Slick? You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. It's funny what Jesus said right then. He said, You didn't get that from flesh and blood. Y'all go read it in Matthew 16. You didn't get that from flesh and blood. That was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. He's very near. You know what's wrong in the church in America today? We've been awful busy one day a week trying to convince everybody that Jesus has been revealed. This might be the best little teaching I ever done in my life. Have you had Jesus revealed? And has God revealed not only himself, but has he revealed you to you? You see, what the law was powerless to do, Jesus came and did, but at the same time, things still stand. The condemnation of the pulpit won't fix anything, but the conviction of the Holy Ghost will bring you to repentance. I said, boy, you need to quit that. I taught 2 weeks ago about hindered prayers. How many of you would like to know that my prayers aren't hindered because someday I'm going to pray for you? Well, I just soon know that your prayers ain't hindered because I kind of need y'all to pray for me. So I guess what I could do is just start going through a list of things that we need to do to be right with God, and we'll just do that every week. That ain't going to work, is it? No. The next thing you know, you'll develop a pattern to get to God to where, since Constantine, you'll go to a phone booth every Friday and you'll say, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. And it's a man on the other side of the gate, when there's a God on the throne of thrones. There's a king sitting in his kingdom who rules over everything, who simply wants you to converse with him and leave that guy out of it. But no, we learned how to do it. So all through the centuries, we're going to hide the crackers in a gold box. We're going to open a book and speak pig Latin so nobody knows what's going on. We're going to do how many Hail Marys so we get our penance right. Oh, and don't forget the beads. You know why I'm picking on that group right there for a minute? Because 90% of you got a root in it. Yeah. If you're a Lutheran or a Methodist, go on down the line. We got a root in this stuff. And we made a man-made conduit for getting to God. How many of y'all grew up knowing that if you got born again, you got to go to church? If you don't go to church, you're not a Christian. I can't wait to see their faces Friday morning when I stand up in front of all of them and tell them, if I never go to church another day the rest of my life, I'm fine. My attendance has got nothing to do with my faith. Unless you got something to offer in the word that I need to hear, there's nothing, there ain't nothing. There's nothing. And speak to me quick, because I got to get home and get on the wall. I got to get home and protect. I got to get home and stand up against the force of evil. I got to get home and promote a better way of life. I'm not going to promote a place that you go after you die. I want to promote a better way to live. Now, maybe for some of you that grew up in church and have never screwed up, maybe you ought to come hang out with a guy like me. Because I've done it both ways. I've done it both ways. I've gotten myself to a place where you hit that magical hour where you're rich, handsome, and bulletproof all at the same time. They sell stuff in grocery stores that'll help you get there. Done it. A lot. And then Jesus got close. You see, while I was dabbling around in the conduit, I never got close enough. Listen to me now. I never got close enough to God to get me done. And then the blood of Jesus brought me near. And all of a sudden, I want to be different. To this day, I have never worried about where I end up when I die. Before I met Jesus, I wanted to go to hell because I figured they had jackpot team ropings. I mean, really, in heaven, if there's probably nobody there to work the chute. Lord knows we need somebody to work the chute, don't we, Alan? That's a little private joke from last night, but heaven forbid, me and Alan had to do manual labor last night. The automatic chute quit working. I'll tell you, life's tough. Yeah. Then when I got born again, it wasn't an issue because I already knew. My biggest issue of the day was living different. And then as I matured, it was living to be effective. And living to be fruitful. Do you know the one thing never changed from day one? Even the before and after? Was the desire for my family. You see, that's the perfect conduit. God never put an institution of religion in the earth. The only institution God ever established in the earth was the institution of family. You see, that's your spot on the wall. That's why this little ministry has been pretty effective, because I've been a bullseye guy the whole time. Very seldom do you women ever hear me harping on you about anything. I'm scared. Better be. She said, you better be. No, men of the bullseye. Why do you think we have so many youth groups in America? Because most guys are scared to try to hit the bullseye. You really want to get the youth of America saved, you need to get dad at home at the kitchen table with a Bible. You better get a dad who knows how near God is. You better get a dad who understands the kingdom of God and the calling on his life to be a watchman on the wall. Now you're going somewhere. But having deadbeat dads with pizza parties on Wednesday, that ain't going to work. It'll be extremely minimal. If you haven't noticed, we're going the other way. So he says right here, he took all that away at the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. For through him we both, through Christ Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Listen to that line right there. Through the blood of Jesus and the Spirit of God, we have access to the owner of the universe. What else do you need? What else? What else do I have to say? Come back next week and I'll give you three more numbers out of the phone number where you can call him. If you are born again, you have access to the Father by one Spirit. This same book tells us we have one faith, one God, one baptism, one Spirit. That's it. One. Not a Baptist kind. There's not a Methodist kind. There's not a Cowboy Methodist kind. One. 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 When we figure that out, we become like-minded. By the Spirit of God, we become like-minded. Does everybody know the same amount as everybody else? No. Can everybody believe the same amount as anybody else? Yes, if you've had Jesus revealed. Yes. It's all about knowing who you know and believing what you know and finding confidence in that. So let me ask you something. Am I more effective to try to figure out ways to get more people in this building so I can pray for more people and I can counsel more people and now we can help more people? That way we've got a really effective ministry. Or would I be better off to every time one of you men come by, I just hand you the football back and say, run, Forrest. You pray. You read. You understand. You minister. You do it. What do you need me to do it for? Why is there always got to be some middleman? I asked a question today to a few folks, and I just don't need an answer. It's just a question, but I didn't get any answers today. The only response I got was, well, I've never heard anybody ask that. So when Paul wrote his letters to Corinth, to the church of Galatia, to Philippi, to Thessalonica, to Colossia, every one of those letters are addressed to that community. Every one of them. I was just kind of curious. I mean, Paul gave a lot of instructions to Timothy on how to lead. He gave a little bit to Titus. Philemon was simply a guy who needed to make up with a slave. So those were a couple personal letters that we can glean from a lot for our own personal lives. But when it came to Ephesus and Colossians, Thessalonica, I want to know who the guy was in charge. Nobody mentions a guy. And a hush fell over the crowd. Just hear God now. I'm going to send a letter over to Pastor Steve so he can get them people fixed. Anybody? Who's in charge of these towns, these places, these communities? When you read the correctionary items in the two books to the Church of Corinth, y'all quit being pigs when you take communion. Some of y'all shut up a little bit, and one or two or three of you talk, but not all of you at once. And if any of you get to babbling around there in tongues, be sure there's an interpretation so everybody knows what's going on. Have a little bit of order amongst yourselves. Not one time did I hear him, Paul, write a letter that said, hey, Deacon Pete, get them people lined out. There were men there. Men in each one of these communities, and Paul knew them, and he'd send a letter, and he didn't get to do it by email. He had extreme snail mail. He didn't even have Pony Express. Paul would hear things, and he'd write letters, and he'd encourage them, or he'd correct them, or he'd give this and that to the communities, but it was the men sat around and talked about this stuff. The men opened up those letters and they talked to each other about the letters. The men were not worried about some man-made conduit on your way to drawing close to God so that you could hear from God. They simply heard from the Apostle Paul and said, hey, this is what we ought to do. Guess what? Those letters are in this book. We should come together and talk about them so we can go home and get on the wall, end our deal, about done. Now, therefore, you're no longer strangers, foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. It's a bad day for the guy that asked me to sign up for something. Well, you know, you need to be a member. Listen, ding-ling, I am. I'm a member of the household of God. Well, you need to pledge. I did my entire life. Already did. Fellow citizens, those of us who are born again by the one Spirit of God, and you're the only person that can answer.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.